Okay, Rabbi Zvi, Shalom. Okay, today, Bezer Shem, part two of the Mezuzah Shirim. So, last week, we said that basically we have to understand the Pshat of the Pasuk, Uksaftem al Mezuzos Beisachah uVisharecha, what that means. So, we talked about what bias is, Dal al Dal, we'll talk a little bit more today. So we mentioned the Sharecha, that the Rambam Shita is that a door, a room without a door is not chayiv with mezuzah. And they asked the Rambam where he got it from, and he said that he got it from the Pasuk, besides the Pasuk B'Sharecha, because a shar is a gate, and a door is like a gate of the doorway. So therefore, if you don't have a door, then there's no chayiv. And we mentioned that even though we don't paskin like the Rambam, we put up mezuzahs even if there's no door. But yet, in deference to the Rambam, we won't make a bracha on such a area. We'll just put it up b'li bracha. But most Rishonim don't subscribe to the Rambam Shita and hold that you do have a chiyuv. That's why we follow those shitas. It's just we don't make the bracha because we're choshesh for the for the Rambam Shita. So how are they going to explain the Chiyuv of Bisharecha? So the Gemara on page 22 in the packet, in the Gemara Yuma Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, says, Tanu Rabbanan Bisharecha Echad Shari Batim Echad Shari Chatzeres Echad Shari Medinos Echad Shari Ayaros In other words, if you have a shar ha'ir, so it means you have a city that's surrounded with a wall around the city, and it has doorways in this wall. So the shar ha'ir requires a mezuzah, even though you're not living in the streets, but that's going to lead up, as some explain, Chef does, to the streets, which will ultimately lead up to the homes. So the shar of the city, shar ha'ir, requires a mezuzah as well. So the question is, where do we have this, such a situation? So one possibility would be what? The old city of Yerushalayim would be one possibility. Seagate in Brooklyn would be another possibility. Now, the only thing is, Rashi in Yuma, on Yud Aleph Amar Aleph on page 22, says that it has to be Rov Yisrael. That is, it can't be a Goyish city. It has to be Rov Yisrael. So if it's not Rov Yisrael, so then it's not going to be Chayef. So that makes things very difficult. So that's, we generally assume the Yerushalayim old city is not Rov Yisrael. So if that be the case, then it wouldn't need a mezuzah if it's not Rov Yisrael. I think the Meister, they do have mezuzahs there. Right, but okay, maybe that's a hopeful thing for the future, that will be one day Rov Yisrael. But the Maisa, it wouldn't have a real chiv. In Seagate, when they tried it, Rabbi Harfus wrote a piece about this. They were afraid that it was going to get ruined. And then another tour in Hilchas Mezuzah is that even though a certain place might be chayiv in mezuzah, but if there's a chance that the goyim are going to steal it and take it and mutilate it, etc., then you wouldn't be chayiv. So what they did in Seagate was, the way it was suggested, I think Rabbi Harfinus writes a piece, is they would first put up the mezuzah with the case alone and see if that stays. And then if that stays, then they can go up to the next step and actually put the parchment in the case as well. I don't know. I don't go to Seagate every day, but the last I was there, I didn't notice a mezuzah there. So the irony is that the old city of Yerushalayim probably doesn't have a chiyuv because it's not Rov Yisrael. Does not have that has the mezuzah, and the at Seagate, which is might be Rov Yisrael, which might be a real chiyuv, does not have the mezuzah. Okay, these are the ironies of life. One sukkah, when I was in the sukkah on the Lower East Side, they have communal sukkahs in the Lower East Side. So many years we were in the Lower East Side together with the same sukkah with Rav David Feinstein and Shlita. So I was discussing with him the idea of putting mezuzahs by elevators and things like that in like an apartment building or things like that. You know, because usually that's where the elevators are. So he made a comment about apartment buildings that, like, say, for example, I live in an apartment building here in the Heights, 475 West 186th Street, where Rabbi Orlean used to live as well. So there's no mezuzah. We do not have a mezuzah on our building. We do not have a mezuzah on our building. And it's so why not? Why don't we have a mezuzah on our building? And I remember I first decided to look into this when we first moved in. It was not owned by a Jew, the apartment building. There was even a tree there in a certain time of year in the apartment building a long time ago. And then YU had this thing that we're buying up the buildings of the neighborhood. So at that point, see, when Kolzmaner was owned by a guy, there was nothing to talk about. But once they had that, that was purchased by YU, so then I thought this could be the time to finally put up a mezuzah on our front door. I mean, people obviously have mezuzahs on their private apartments and inside the apartments, but they don't have mezuzah on the front door. So this would be finally the opportunity to put up the mezuzah. So I was in the sukkah with Rav David Feinstein. We were discussing. So he told me that he's of the opinion that Shar HaIr, to require a mezuzah, you need Kol Yisrael, not just Rov Yisrael, Kol Yisrael. And then I said to him, what about the Rashi in Yuma? So he said he thinks we don't paskin like that Rashi. Now what was his basis? So his basis is that the din in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a shutuf with a Jew and a goy, so then say a person owns an apartment, has a roommate that's a Gentile, and so the shutuf of a Jew and a goy, different opinions, but we paskin, there's no chiyuv to have a mezuzah. There has to be, so if the Jew has his own room in the apartment, and the goy has his own room, so then they won't. Then the Jew will put a mezuzah on his private bedroom, and the goy obviously won't. And in terms of the apartment itself, which is used by both of them, the door that leads into the apartment, could be a din of shutuf with the goy. So then shutuf with the goy wouldn't be chayev in mezuzah. So that's what Rav David Feinstein was of the opinion, that since we paskin that shutuf and akum patis for mezuzah, that would indicate that this Rashi is shaloka halacha, the way we paskin. And Rashi would hold that shutuf akum is chayev, so therefore he would say Rav Yisrael. That's how he said. However, not everyone agrees with his approach. There is an Or Sameach then the Or Sameach, and I think Rav Shechter quotes this Or Sameach sometimes, the Or Sameach in his Sefer on the Rambam says a different approach. He says, no, the din of Shutuf with a guy means that if you own an apartment or a room with a guy, so then there's no chiyuv mezuzah because you're part owner, he's part owner, or part renter, he's part renter, so it won't be good. But if the chiyuv mezuzah doesn't stem from the fact that you're living in these quarters, it stems from a more global thing. In other words, there's an entranceway that's leading up to different different apartments, different places of living. So then, that din of shutus doesn't apply, because it's not the chiyuv is not betoras the mokum atzmo. The chiyuv is betoras that it's leading up to a mokum dira. So therefore, how do we decide whether this city is a city of Jews or a city of goyim? So Rashi says, based on Rof. So then, if it's Rov, then you say that this Shar Ha'ir relates to Jews more than Goyim, and we label it as a Shar Ha'ir of Yisrael, and therefore, because, in other words, the only time you say that one Goy will pasel is if the Goy is in this apartment itself that we're being medaber. But if we're talking about a Chiva Mezuzah, not on the apartment itself, but on the lead-up, so then, Or Sameach says, then that the din of Shutuf Akum would not apply, then you just need to be able to be koveya that this is a shar leading to Diras Yisrael. So then if it has Rov, it would be enough. And even Rashi could hold that Shutuf Akum is also Potter. But this the Shutuf Akum doesn't apply. And therefore, that's Shitas Rashi, the Or Sameach explains. And therefore, it wouldn't be requirement to have, because then it would be come out that the only time you could have a mezuzah on the doorway, according to Rav David Feinstein, is if every single inhabitant in the apartment is Jewish, which you probably can get that in apartments in Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak or something like that, and not necessarily in Washington Heights, even though the apartment that I live in is predominantly Ruba de Ruba Akum, Israel rather, Israel. But there are a few non-Israelim there, you know, very fine people, but nonetheless. So according to Rav David Feinstein, they wouldn't be a Chiv in our, because we don't get the 100% mark. So that was, and Rav Abadi told me he thought, I don't know, I guess his vision of Washington Heights is a place where, you know, people will take the mezuzah, and I don't know if I have that same view, but maybe a difference between living there and not living there. But I think, you know, things are very nice here, Baruch Hashem, and I don't think, you know, but he thought, oh, for sure they're going to take it from Chule, so he thought not. So in the meantime, there was no mezuzah put up on the doorway of our building until one year on Purim. On Purim, so what happens on Purim? So Rav Goldwicht has a lot of things going on in the apartment there, and then he has this thing where he goes with whoever's in his apartment, and they have an entourage, and they come to the Chagiga together. So on the way, one year on Purim, Rav Goldwicht decided we're going to be Koveya Mezuzah on the front door of the doorway on Purim, and that's what he did. And then a day or two later, the mezuzah was not there. And then I saw it by the mailbox inside, something like that. So it didn't have a long-lasted loving, you know, existence on the. And then after that, we didn't try again. Now it's owned by another YU, has since sold it, the building, to Mr. Ruby Schroen, but there has not been any change in the mezuzah status of our building. So you still have these other coolers, even though there's what to say, that we have Rov Yisrael. So if you hold like the Or Sameach's approach, then there should be. And if you hold like Rav David Feinstein, Rav Mani, those other approaches, not. But I think there definitely is what to say for, having a mezuzah here. But Lamaisa, as it is currently, the mezuzah that Rav Golva put up probably 5, 6, 7 years ago on our front door never resurfaced to be put there. So we're relying on other shittas that don't require it. Right. Well, you can argue back and forth whether that's right or not, but that's the mitzvah. Yeah.
You can find a way to embed the mezuzah into the doorpost, therefore people can't touch it. Would that now generate a greater COVID or something like that? Or
it depends how much the person really wants to get your mezuzah. In other words, what you're saying is there is a din. We'll talk about this later. That in America, you put the mezuzah on the doorpost, and then you have a case usually. In Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure you've seen in the Jerusalem stone, they'll put the mezuzah in the stone. Right? You've seen that. I haven't seen that in America. I've only seen that in Eretz Yisrael. So you put it in the stone. But if somebody wants to cause problems, they could easily take tweezers and yank it out. And if there's a real hashash that they want to do that. Yes?
In the case of Eretz Yisrael, we have a Mishalas Yisrael. All the land is ours, if not individually. It's ours globally. So we should have an extra chiyuv to do over there, regardless of the inhabitants of the land.
So what are you saying?
Put up mezuzah and
even if it's Rav Akum.
It's not Rav Akum. It doesn't matter who's inhabiting the Memshala is Rav Yisrael. It's Rav Yisrael, but they attach themselves to Rav Yisrael. So.
Okay, that's an interesting comment you're making. The question is that the halacha? It's a nice idea, that it's. Right, since 1948, maybe that's. Well, 48 we didn't have Yerushalayim, yes, but okay, something to think about. So Lamaisa, they have him up. Lamaisa, they do have mezuzahs on the gates, right?
It's huge, it's big.
Yeah, we do have mezuzahs on the gates of Yerushalayim. Okay, Halavai, it should continue in the right direction. Okay. Okay, now the Gemara also tells us that there are other places that the Gemara says in Pesachim, famous line on Daf Dalet, Mezuzah Chovas Hadar. That the mezuzah is a obligation for the inhabitor. So what does that imply? That implies that you need a dira. You need to be living in the, right? It has to be some function of dira, of living. If there's no one living there, it's not a chovas hadar. Then that's why the Gemara uses that expression to explain that a socher, who if I rent an apartment, so who's the chiyuv mezuzah? Is the chiyuv mezuzah on myself, or is the chiyuv mezuzah on the owner of the building? Who as I say I own a building, do I have to make sure that there are? If I own a building here. I own a building in the city. So do I have to make sure that... And I rent it out to different people. So do I have to put... So who's the chovah mezuzah on? So the Gemara says the chovah mezuzah is on the socher, the person who is renting the house, the apartment. He has the chiyuv mezuzah. Even though I own the building, but I don't live there. I rent it out to different people. So then the chova is on me. There's discussion, what about a hotel? Say, I own a hotel. What's the story if you own a hotel? So I don't live in the hotel, but I own the hotel. So who stays in the hotel? Different people, like a hotel, they come and go. So the question is there a chova of mezuzah here? Because on one hand, you could say that I don't live there, so it's not a dira for me. The people who do live there are renting it. So in Chutzlar, you have 30 days when you're renting. And the people in the hotel are not even renting. That's the thing. They're not renting. They're paying, they have a right to get a room in the hotel. But that doesn't mean that they're not renting. So basically they're not renting and I'm not living there. So that's a question. I saw the quote from Rav Yashiv that maybe the owner of the hotel, it's his bias and he's using it by people living there. That's his use of the hotel is people living there. So therefore that's his use. The people living, in other words, if they would be renting, so that's their thing. They're renting. It's theirs. And in Chutz La'aretz they have a 30-day respite. There in Israel you don't have the 30-day respite. So say I own a hotel in Yerushalayim. Pretty good thing. So then the people who are coming there are not are not chayim, because the question is they're not even renting. So are they chayim? That's a question, because what would be in such a situation? So, I think in that sefer Shvus Yitzchak, it's a sefer by Rav Darzi, and he quotes from Rav Yashiv that a hotel, maybe the owner has the chiyuv of because if you look on page 20, Reish Pei Vav Chav Beis, it says Asocher Beis B'Chutz La'Arts V'Hadar B'Pundok Be'Eretz Yisrael. Potter mi mezuzah. Shloshim yom. Vasocher bais beretz Yisrael chayv mezuzah miyad. So he says, Hasocher bais bechutz laretz, hadar bepundak beretz Yisrael, is potter mi mezuzah shloshim yom. So it sounds like he's potter, because in other words, socher is he rents that particular place. Pundak is just an inn, so he's not necessarily renting a particular house. So darba pundak beretz Yisrael is potter mi mezuzah shloshim yom. So he's also potter. He does not chayiv right away. It's only a socher. So then there could be what to say that neither of them are chayiv, but I think the post can assume that the what it says in that sefer Shvus Yitzchak, that the owner of the, and that's a big question also in the dormitory in yeshiva, who's chayiv in the mezuzah? Are the students chayiv, the talmidim chayiv, or is it the yeshiva that's chayiv? So I think he quotes in that sefer Shvus Yitzchak from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, thought that the yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva is chayiv in the mezuzah. Even Shvus Yitzchak on mezuzah. Yeah. Chelech, I think, Tazayin. Going strong. Right. Yeah, like he has on Bishul and those, you know, he has the earliest. But it's a fascinating sefer. This Talmud of Rav Yashiv wrote a good psukim, you know, when, you know, it's Rav Yashiv's perspective on things. Not everyone necessarily agrees to everything. Well, that's like anybody, not everyone can agree. But if you want to hear Rav Eliashiv's perspective on halacha, you read these four, Shmos Yitzchak. And you have like 16 volumes, and I guess I'm going to read. It's a fun reading, Sefer. It's a very, very good, nice Sefer. So he quotes this idea of the... Rabbi Willard likes to quote, you know, the discussion in the postkim when you, if you go to a hotel for Shabbos, whether you have to make an Erev Chatzeris in the hotel or not. There's a whole discussion. So there's some shitas that hold, based on Tosas, Mishnah Berurah discusses this, that you're not, it's not your deer even, so you shouldn't be chayv, because you're not... In other words, they can tell you to leave your room. They just have to give you another room. It's not a socher. If I rent something, they can't tell me to leave the place I'm renting. I'm renting this particular thing. In a hotel, I just pay money to get a room. I'm not paying for room 108 or room 109. I'm paying for a room. They give me a room. If they tell me for some reason I have to vacate that room, then they give me a different room. But it's nothing is specific about this room. But if you rent a dira in Eretz Yisrael, you're renting that particular dira. So some hold, like Rabbi Will pointed out, that would pater from Erev Chatzeris, and because you're not even a socher, and some hold not that way. Chazanish held not that way. It's all based on Rabbi Will pointed out how you understand the certain tosas and Erevin about that.
Right,
if I pay, but then there usually is more than one of that type. I mean, sometimes they could have one special suite, you know, that year. And I'm not even sure if you pay for that one special suite. I don't think you. And they decide that you have to leave, so they'll put you someplace else, and they'll refund you the money. But it's not a schiris type of relationship in a hotel. You do have these hotels in Lev Yerushalayim or something like that, that you have, you have, you get that room for exactly how these things work, but that type of thing. Okay, so that's. So that's the discussion. But generally, the halacha is when you're renting, a real renter, then you're chayiv in mezuzah, the socher. And Rashi and Davdalad and Psachim explains that mezuzah is protection. Mezuzah is protection. It's not just another mitzvah. Every mitzvah is a protection a certain way. But mezuzah is like, that's like on the books, that it's a protection type thing. So therefore, who has to be protected? The person who's living there. He has to be protected. not the person who owns the thing, but the person who's living there. So it's his chiyuv to put up the mezuzah. And that's why the halacha is that when you leave, you have to leave the mezuzah there. You have to leave because you're taking away the protection of the new person. So this comes up all the time. People always in the heights, they're always leaving, coming, going, So this halacha comes up a lot. You leave the mezuzah. Now, Rabbi points out, based on the Ramah, that you have a right to get compensated for it. In other words, you have to offer it to sell it to him. He doesn't want to buy it, so you don't have to. Whereas, as Ravai pointed out, just like you have to, he has to be protected, you also have to be protected. And if you, and therefore you're not mechuyev to just give him a free matana. But if he's willing to pay for it, then you have to, as Ravai pointed out, based on the Ramah, then you have to leave it to him. A lot of times you don't know who's the next one, who the next person is, or it might be a goy. So in those cases, post give a makel that you could take the mezuzah with you. But, or if you have a mezuzah, it has a special sentimental value to you, so you could change it with another mezuzah. Just leave him protected with a mezuzah. So that's the story.
You would have to leave all the mezuzahs in the entire house, or specifically the one in the front?
Every single mezuzah. Except if maybe if they put up a mezuzah that was in a place that didn't have technically have a chiv mezuzah according to any opinion, then that's a different story. Yeah.
Rebbe mentioned before that as someone who's staying in the hotel is not even not even be considered to be a renter. Is that because of the fact that the owner, as Rebbe just said, can move the people staying in the hotel from one room to another, or was that because of the 30 days?
No, even without the 30 days, it's said he can move from one room to the other. So he's not even, that's this halacha about, but after 30 days, then there's a Marasayan halacha.
Even if the hotel owner has the right to move you,
it could still be a Marasayan issue. Right. But, say, in Eretz Yisrael, where the chiv of mezuzah, even a socher, is right away, so he says, but Hadar B'Punduk by Eretz Yisrael is still potter mi mezuzah shloshim yom, because that's not even a socher, that's a punduk. An inn.
Meaning the person staying at the inn.
He's staying at the inn, yeah. So you're in a punduk in Eretz Yisrael, so you're there for 20 days, so even though if you rent in Eretz Yisrael, you chayv right away. But if you... In America.
Yeah.
I don't think there used to be a hotel by the Bedford Hotel, and it was owned by Mr. Arbisfeld. I used to go into my wife and I and the family. We used to go to the Yachat Shabbaton in Stern. It used to be twice a year, Yachat Shabbaton in Stern. Then it went from twice to once a year, then from once to just none a year. I think that's what had to do with when they didn't no longer had the Bedford Hotel anymore. That was the key, the clincher, the Bedford Hotel. And then the other hotel that I think he owns is more Spitz Hotel. So then it wasn't as accessible to put everyone up. But if I remember correctly, I don't think there was... Right, Chutzlar is right. Jewish people own hotels. I don't think have mezuzahs on in mid-Manhattan. Right. So you could say that the word is that Lamaisa, the people who are there, are not renting. Even if they are renting, it's renting Kutzel Arts, and the people who own it don't live there. So you could say, you could hear the svara. Where in Eretz Yisrael, it also has to do with the fact that in America, things are different than having a hotel in Israel. It's just,
Less of a halacha question, so we're not concerned. But Randy mentioned the post-game bar deciding whether we should put a mezuzah up. Maybe it will be taken down, or we say a mezuzah is a shmira. So, how do we understand the shmira?
You're saying, right, I guess, our shmira, but also the shmira of the Kisvei HaKodesh. So the shmira for us. So the question is, you're saying, in other words, how can we forfeit our shmira?
Yeah.
Because if I can't, we probably need more shmira in the place.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess the preservation of the Kisvei HaKodesh take precedence. And I guess the bezchus that, kind of Baruch Hu will shomer us as well. It's like they say that by the Svarim say that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So how are we going to get the shmira that we need for shofar? I mean, shofar is, where it says, called shonash, ain't talking at all, berosha, merino besofa, that it's a bad sim, not to hear shofar. But, so the Svarim right, that lebaisa what? Lebaisa, our Shmir Shabbos, because we're not blowing shofar, that's going to be in lieu of that. It's interesting, there's the Orach Laner, right? There's a famous Orach Laner that he goes through all the tragedies in history, like, you know, big tragedies in history, and he says all those years where Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. You know, because, you know, the mashal is like, okay, you're honest, you know, you can't take your medicine, but then you still didn't get your refuah. I don't know, that's an interesting mahalach to point that out. I don't know. But as l'maisa, that's what we're supposed to do. So it doesn't make sense that we should be punished, you know, to show that the years that korbanos happened were the years that, I don't know, one has to miyashir das on that concept. So this reminded me of what you just brought up.
Rebbe had suggested that somebody who was in, let's say, a hotel room for more than 30 days, technically, there would be a, because of people thinking that whatever, there would be a theoretical to have a mezuzah. Would that mean that if the hotel wouldn't allow the person to put up a mezuzah after 30 days, the guy after 29 days should ask the hotel to move him to a different room if he has to stay for longer than that period of time?
I don't know what to tell you. Because I don't know if it's the Lashon Shulchan Aruch is a socher bais b'chutz l'aretz v'adar b'pundok b'eretz Yisrael potter b'mezuzah shloshim yom. A socher bais b'chutz l'aretz chayv b'mezuzah miyad b'shem yishuv b'eretz Yisrael. I don't know. Something to think about. Yeah, there's a piece here from Rav Shach on page 21. Rav Shach likes quoting this piece that if you have that maybe the din and that in Chutz La'aretz you have a respite of 30 days, not till day 31. That's because Schiris Lokanya. That's not a Kenyan, it's not yours. But it could be today that there was that in the civil law, Schiris is Kanya, meaning that you can't just evict me from the. So I do have a. So maybe then the cool of 30 days wouldn't apply anymore. Because we hold that, you know, that you can't just throw me out of a schiris. Schiris is Kanya. With the name Schiris Kanya. So therefore, maybe Mizmach Hazal, schiris wasn't Kanya. So if like, I rent you my apartment, but now something happens to my dear, I can say, okay, you leave. I need a place. Today you can't do that. You have it's binding legally. So maybe the whole reason for the tour of 30 days is because of Schiris Lokanya, but today Schiris is Kanya. So maybe you'd have a chiv right away to put up this mezuzah. And the big issue that everyone asks about is when they move into a new apartment, when do they put up the mezuzah? So some hold you have to wait till day 31 to put it up, because before that there's no chiv. So they mamish have to count till when day 31 is and put it up that day, because if you put it up before, it could be a shayla of tasav, and also it could be there wasn't a real chiv. Maybe you can't make a bracha. Uh, But according to Rav Shach's thing here in the Aviezri, then you get, like Rav Shachter likes this, then you can put it up right away. And there's an opinion of the Nesivus and the Derech Chaim. You know the Derech Chaim and the Nesivus? The Nesivus wrote a Siddur called Derech Chaim Siddur. And in the Siddur, he has Piskei Halachas in the Siddur. Now, recently, people come to the conclusion that we don't really need his Siddur anymore. We have enough Siddurim. So you'll just print the Piskei Halachas in a separate sefer. Forget this Ashrei. We know Ashrei. You know, we don't need the Nesivus to tell us about Ashrei. So they printed different editions in the library. We have them with Haaris of just the Psakim of the Derech Chaim. So there's a famous thing of the Derech Chaim that he says, if you know from not working with the Rav Shach's Mahalach, but if you know right away, you're going to be there for more than 30 days, then you can put it up right away. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer Hilchos Mezuzah also says this. He also says, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that you can put it up right away. Because Lamaisa, even though no one's living there, but it's still, you machshir it for, just like he makes a mushal, like if you shecht, even though you're not eating it right away, but you made this mokum, this food, roi lachila. So now you're making this dira, a mokum that's roi ladira. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky thought that you could put it up, you can make, even if no one's living there, you can put up, you can make the, you could put the mezuzah up right away. Rav Moshe says he thinks you should wait. Rav Moshe says you put up right away to be choshish to the opinions that say that if you know right away you're going to be more than 30 days, put up right away. And then on day 31, put your hand on the mezuzah and make a bracha. That's a chiddush because others say, like Rav Soloveitchik, that you can't make a birkas a mitzvah unless you're doing a maisa mitzvah. Rav Moshe assumed no, that you don't need to make a maisa mitzvah. You don't need to have a maisa mitzvah to make a birkas a mitzvah. You could put up the mezuzah on day five when you come in, whatever it is, and not make the bracha until day 31. It's already up, so you can just put your hand there. And you're not doing any maisa. You make the bracha. That's a big discussion in the poskim whether Rav Soloveitchik's idea that you need a maisa mitzvah. You know, it comes up in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos. Hilchos what? Adlachas Ner Shabbos, famous Magen Avraham. Back in the day, we don't have this so much today. I've never attended such a thing that I'll tell you. There was a common practice to get married on Friday. Friday was a good time to get married. Today, not too many people are getting married on Friday. So they would get married on Friday. So what happens was the people would go to the chuppah and then they'd come home to light Neir Shabbos. But sometimes it was too late. And it was too late to light Neir Shabbos, so they'd get a goy to light Neir Shabbos and then they would make the bracha on the goy's hadlaka. So that's a precedent for this concept of not necessarily needing a maisa mitzvah. So those that hold you need a maisa mitzvah would be able to do this thing. But that was a common practice, and you know, which is not too common today, to get married on Erev Shabbos and then the Suda Chasa. Years ago, they did it because people were poor, so they wanted the Suda Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos, we don't view a Suda Shabbos as an expense. It's like normal living, but Suda Shabbos would be an expense. So let the Suda Shabbos and the Chasa be the same meal, so you don't have to have another meal that you have to spend money for.
Can I ask you for a Schechter? It's that you can put it up for 30 days, right? Not that you must put it up right away.
Wait, I think you got the wrong name. So
I thought Rav Schechter was the one who quotes Rav Shach's Pshat.
Rav Schechter quotes Rav Shach's Pshat that today maybe the Chiv, since we have a lease, and so it's binding right away, so that's Chiris is Kanya b'zman hazeh. You see, the old days, Chiris was not Kanya. So if I was socher something, I had a right to live there. But if you had a need, that you say there was a fire, chas v'shalom, in your dira, and you don't have any other dira, so you can tell me to leave. You can, because the skiris wasn't kanya. It wasn't a full, obviously it's not full kinyan, yakone, even if skiris is kanya, but a certain measure of kinyan in the skiris. So in those days, skiris was lo kanya. That was the original psak that skiris was lo kanya. So mela. So that's what Rav Shach claims is the reason for the respite of 30 days. But today, skiris, according to the Chok HaMedina, skiris is kanya. Just because you have a problem that something happened with your dira, you can't say, okay, I own two diras, one I rented out. So now I have a problem with my dira, so I tell the other guy, go fly a kite, and he can't do that. He has legally rented it. Now, it's your problem, it's not his problem. It's your problem. Go rent yourself some other... So if according to the Chok HaMedina, skiris today is kanya, so that's what Rav Shach is saying, so then the keter of Lamed Yom wouldn't apply, and therefore you would have to put up, it would be a chiev to put up the mezuzah right away at the beginning of the skiris, because the skiris is kanya.
And for Chaim Kanyevsky,
he
says that if you know you're going to be there for longer...
No, being longer, that's the Der Chaim. That's the Der Chaim. Rav Chaim Kanyevsky just says he doesn't think that you have to be there now at all. As long as there's a physical structure here to put up a mezuzah, I can put up a mezuzah. So say I own an apartment complex, and I'm a nice guy. I'm going to get mezuzahs for everybody. No one lives there yet. I'll put up mezuzahs in all the empty houses. So he says, fine. You machshir it to Ladira. So fine. No one's living there. But it's like he gives a mashal. It's like I'm shechting behemoths for people so they'll have meat. I can make a bracha. Because I'm accomplishing something now. I'm machshir the meat achila. So it says I'm machshir the batim the dira. So he didn't think that you have this whole pilpul that the poskim have. When should you make the bracha? You make it.
So the Derech Chaim says you have an obligation.
It's a diak in the Derech Chaim. Rabbi Roblowski once wasn't so happy with the diak, but the Derech Chaim is that the diak of 30 days only if you plan to live there only for 30 days, then you don't have to put it right away. But if from day one you know you're going to be there for more than 30 days, then you should put up right away. That's how some explain this sheet of the Derech Chaim. From the Psakim of the Derech Chaim, that's now printed a Sefer's farm. With nice notes, and the Derech Chaim has a lot of chidushim in the sefer.
So how are you explaining the difference between
Eretz
Yisrael and
Chutz
L'Aretz?
I just don't know. Yeah, so Eretz Yisrael Chutz L'Aretz. So we said that there was a, if you hold it, there's a heter of 31 day 31 in Eretz Yisrael Chutz L'Aretz. That's because the Gemara says because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which some Rishonim explained to mean that we don't want you to leave Eretz Yisrael. So you would think twice leaving if you know that you'd have to leave your mezuzah there. Chutz L'Aretz, we don't care. You move here, you move there. You know. Yeah.
Could we borrow from Hilchas Sukkah, like building a Sukkah Tov Shloshim or Refor Shloshim?
Not exactly.
Why not? Because it's the act of the Quinta Rub. It's sometimes actions express intention. You don't have to say anything. Your action expresses intention. And he elaborates on the different opinions in the Rishon LeSarab.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it's the same type of halacha, but we could discuss it more. But okay. So another thing we need to know. Now, the Gemara says that we know that the din is that a Beis Knesset is potter from the mezuzah, right? Because it's not a makam dira. If the shamus lives there, then it's chayim, right? So at a base medrash, there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. So what's the pshat? So the Shach says, it's talking about a base medrash that people are learning there the whole day. So that looks similar to a dira. That's what the Shach says. People are learning the base. It doesn't mean, you know, in some shuls, in the old big shuls, so they had a thing like this, that not everyone was coming to shul on the weekday like on Shabbos. So the old big shuls, the Jewish centers and the young Israels, they had this big room for the where they davened on Shabbos, and then they had another place where they davened during the week. Right? A lot of shuls have that. Obviously, because not as many people were davening on the weekday as Shabbos, so then look, you know, you have 15 people coming to a shul that can seat 400 people. It looks a little weird. So they have this other place. They call that the big main sanctuary. They call the Beis Knesset. And the small place they call the Beis Medrash. So that has no halachic bearing. That's just, you know, somebody made that up. So that Beis Medrash, the Shach says, is not chayev according to anybody. It's what? It's only the Beis Medrash, like in a yeshiva, where people are there the whole day. So that's Dumya the Dira. But, and even that is not so pashut. You know, the Rush quotes the famous story of the Marami Rutenberg. The Marami Rutenberg would learn the whole day, and then sometimes he would fall asleep in the Beis Medrash, but there was a Ruach Ra that stared him. And there was no mezuzah on the Beis Medrash, so then he decided to put up a mezuzah, and then the Ruach Ra went away. So Rav Abadi once said to me, if it was really chayiv, he would have put it up from before. Like, so it's a strange type of thing. Like, the Ruach Ra was there, so then, but it's like a type of thing. It's like a shmira type of thing. So the mice, like Rav Abadi put in the pashas, he wasn't chayiv, because it's not a real dira. It's a dumya de dira. So, but a base knesses for sure you don't need. This is we're talking about the main sanctuary. The other rooms in the shul, that's not called Beis Knesset. Those are other rooms. The Maaseh, Rav Abadi pointed out, they don't need either, because they're not a Makom Dira either. See, the question is, do you say, here's a discussion that's safe for seriously, I think, by the fact that just people are, like this building here, or no one's living here. No one's living here, but it's populated by people coming and going the whole day. So is that called is that called dira? So Rav Abadi's of the opinion, he thinks now that that's not a dira. Dira means you live there. That's why Rav Abadi's shita was that the only place in the yeshiva that really needs a mezuzah is the dormitory, because that's so. There's one yeshiva in Lakewood that I think. His Talmidim, everybody's Talmidim, that they don't have mezuzahs on the yeshiva, because he holds that it's a waste of money. You know, it's not a chayef. But the minhag ha'olam has become that any Jewish moysad that people are using a lot, coming and going, we view that like, you know, it's similar to what the Shach said by a Beis Medrash. You know, that looks like a dira because it's, you know, people are, you know, like any firm chassid hall in Brooklyn or Lakewood is going to have mezuzahs. They won't get business probably if they don't have it. People say, what's going on? There are no mezuzahs here, you know. And then they, you know, they'll probably lose business, you know. So, or, you know, from restaurants and things like that. So Pashas is these, it's not a, so Rav Abadi holds all these places are not really chayef in mezuzah. So the mice of people put it on. But the Chari shouldn't make a bracha because it's also relevant, you know, for offices. Some people, you know, put up mezuzahs on the office, but some people dafka feel uncomfortable doing it because they're amongst going, they don't. So it could be a body holds me here, it's not chayiv anyway, so because it's not a real makom dira. I mean, as I said in the past, you know, some people spend more time in their offices than they spend in their own homes. Mokandiris, where you live. That's why Rav Badi had a chiddush, also Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has the same chiddush. That when the Shulchan Aruch says that base otzar is chayiv in mezuzah, that means a place of storage. It's 2 days, but we paskin it's chayiv. So Rav Badi thought, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Sefer Mechitzas Rabbeinu is quoted saying the same thing. It's only if you have a storage place next to your house. Like you have like some storage room in your house. Or you have, right, but you ever see, you're driving on the highway, and you saw these big signs for storage, you know, there are always these billboards for storage places. So those storage places are not next to a dira. There's some, you know, some place in the middle of wherever, these storage places. So Rabbi thought that those storage places are not chayiv in mezuzah. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says storage place chayiv in mezuzah, it's only if it's connected to a dira. But if there's no dira there, then the storage place is not chayiv. That's why we consider a garage a storage place is next to your house. So, but it could be, some want to say, I think the Deber Tzina is a truva, some want to say that it's all, that if it's only a car that's kept in the garage, then maybe that's not also chayev, because it means a storage place means that, you know, like you keep some wine and then you come into your house, you bring wine into the house, that's part of your usage of the house.
Is it tevin?
Yeah, so Beis HaTevin is also, what's tevin? Tevin's for your cows. Right, yeah, it's for food for your cows and your hay. But I guess that was also part of your deer interest. That was, they milked the cows. There was, you know, you bring the milk into your house. That was all part of your existence. Every, what? Okay, yeah, so you could say the car is the same thing. So, you could say the car is the same thing. So, you know, today we have cars. We bring all our tzrachim that we have in our home. We put in the car. You could say that as well. So, yeah, Rav Dov Feinstein's other opinion to put up a mezuzah. He thought without a bracha, Rav Dov Feinstein a garage, because of the other shita that says you're not chayev. But Lemaisa, Rabbi Kivega points out that the shita that says you're not chayev on the Beis HaOtzar, that other shita is not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch as a Yesh Omrim. So he doesn't think you have to give any. He says like this: when it comes to the doors, we have the Rambam sheet is quoted as a Yesh Omrim. So then you have to give that more chashivas, and not make a bracha do the Rambam. But the Rebbe Kivya Eger says, but the sheet of Beis HaOtzar, that you need, it's only if a person noshim is kashos shama, that women are putting on makeup there, stuff like that. So that sheet is not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So he says you don't have to give that. That's called nidcha, that shita. Whereas the other shita, so that's his big yisod. Rabbi Kivya Eger writes one place that if the Shulchan Aruch quotes as the Yesh Omrim, even though we don't, that's not the ikar shita, you still give a chashivas and you won't make a bracha if you're going against that shita. But if the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote it in the, even though it might be in the Beis Yosef, but it's not even quoted in the, it didn't make the final cut to be in the Wat. In the Mechaber itself, then already, and that's this is you know the whole the Dvar Shmuel Abu Hav, he says a very fascinating point. It's a controversial statement. I'm not convinced that he's wrong. It's a very controversial statement. Not everyone likes his statement. I'll tell you the same in a second. That he says, he claims that Rav Yosef Karo only wrote the Beis Yosef, but the Shulchan Aruch he gave out to the students to, you do from Simon Aleph to Chaf Beis, and you do from Chaf Beis to, and that's why he explains that there's so many steers in the Shulchan Aruch. That's it's not a Kadmon say this, the Dvar Shmuel, Shmuel Abu Hav. He says this idea that, and others say, what do you mean? The Mechaber is going to give the his little Talmidim to decide what the final psak is. So this was a kind of, but there are so many stiras in Rav Abadi once showed me in Hilchas Yontif, the Bir HaGroa writes that this Yesh Stiras B'Shulchan Aruch Kayadua. Meaning, a steer in Shulchan Aruch doesn't necessarily bother me. But on the other hand, Achronim, a lot of times, are trying to miyashev this steer in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, it's clear that in the biography of the son of the Chafetz Chaim, wrote a biography of the Chafetz Chaim, and he says the steer is in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, you know why the steer is in the Mishnah Berurah? Because they weren't all written by my father. My brother wrote this siman, and my brother-in-law wrote this siman. You know, they just had the sign here, having the biographies of different Rosh Yeshivas on the wall. So they just had Rav Mendel Zaks. Rav Mendel Zaks was the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law. He was the bochen here in this yeshiva. They say that, I think Rabbi Hechsa, they did the final redaction of the Mishnah Berurah in the old building there. This yeshiva is the old building. That Rav Mendel Zaks finished off the final touches on the Mishnah Berurah in that building. Rav Mendel lived on the west side, and he was the bochen here in the yeshiva, where he was the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law. He lived in the same building with Rav Aaron Kotler, who also lived on the west side. You think Rav Aaron Kotler lived in Lakewood, but that's not where he lived. Rav Aaron Kotler lived on the west side. West side. Place to be. And then later he moved to Borough Park. He never lived in Lakewood. Was he, Rav Abadi explained to me, was he, during the week he was busy with Klal. He had to save people in Europe. And Rav Aaron Kotler, when did he go to Lakewood? The Shabbos. So his main shear, when did he give shear, Rav Aaron Kotler? On Shabbos. That's when he gave shear. The shear was on Shabbos. It was during the week. He spent a long weekend in Lakewood, but during the week he was here. Reb Mendel also. Reb Mendel lived on the west side. Then he came to Washington Heights to give bechinas. Interesting. A little history. Okay. Oh. So another thing we have to know about mezuzah. So we discussed last week, you have to know which way to put the mezuzah, right? Knisa, which way, right? We discussed the Chabad approach, the other approach.
Sliding doors, would that be an accurate for a sliding door?
With what beer?
Accurate, like the door opening.
A sliding door is doesn't have...
anyway, where the hinge
is. No, so sliding doors is a problem. It's just not going to go out.
It's just
going to
crack.
Right, so then
you get... Like the other openings.
Yeah. Because there's no hecats here, right.
In relation to the garage that everybody was speaking about, if somebody is considering or in the process of changing that garage into a livable space, into a bedroom, is that only once that change happens, is there a chiyuv mezuzah, or the fact that this space is a space?
Well, if you hold garage, it's chiyuv mezuzah. Uh-huh.
I'm saying if you hold it's not chiyuv mezuzah, but you're considering or you're getting a process to change. To
it's only it when you actually change it to the
habitable space.
Okay. The halacha is that you have to put it a couple of things. You have to put it in the doorway. Okay? So that's where you have to put the mezuzah. Like here, this I told you, this is the perfect doorway. You put the mezuzah in the doorway. If it's not in the halal Pesach, it's a question. Sometimes the door takes up the whole thing, and then you have to put it on the... But that's only b'shas hadcha. Always should try to be here. Now, what pasels? If it's too high up, if it's within a tefach of the mashkov, that pasels, right? And if it's lower than the top third, also pasels. So say you have a child's bedroom, and the child wants to kiss his mezuzah while he's coming in, and he wants you to make it lower for him, so that's you can't do that. You could just pick him up, so he could touch it or kiss it, whatever he wants. But if it's lower than the top third, it's possible. So that's important yourself. The question is, what if you have a very tall doorway? Well, you have a very tall doorway, so what should you do? So the Yerushalmi in Megillah, quoted in the Shach, says, then you follow shoulder height. Then you don't, even though shoulder height is going to be lower than the top third. Lower than the top third. So the Shach paskins that you follow this Yerushalmi in Megillah. It's quoted here on page 33. Shabesh Pei Tes, Sivkot and Dalet. Shapesach Kavo Harbe, Yenichere Kenegik Seifov. So what's the idea? Why do you put it? Because he says that you have to, mezuzah should be something that you notice. It should be within your purview to see the mezuzah. You know, coming in, coming out. So if it's going to be so high up, then no good. So that's the Shach Paskins.
What's the relationship between the mezuzah being shmira and it being your
privilege? Because the Rambam says that part of the shmira is that you're thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, you're thinking. So this is the Minhag Olam. The Minhag Olam is to follow the Shach. And you ever see on the ground floor of the library, there's one or two doorways that are very high, and they put the mezuzah on the shoulder height.
The high
is very high. Okay, we'll say, yeah. I'm going to get that in a second.
If we're putting up a mezuzah on a door frame that doesn't require a mezuzah because of the kind of place that people live in, do these rules still apply to you? I mean, if you volunteer to put up a mezuzah, must you adhere to the rules
Yeah, because the question is, in other words, what does it mean that it doesn't really require? Like we're saying over here, this building doesn't really require.
Right.
Yeah, but you could say that maybe that's the Ikar Halacha, but then you have this Svar of the Shach, that if it's in regular use, that's Doma Dedira, so it's like a quasi Chiv or something. Once you're doing it, you should do it right.
Okay.
If you mamish have a situation where it's mamish not chayim according to any shita, okay, so, okay. But usually there's going to be something that's going to be chayim. Oh. So you asked the question, how high is high? No, so let me tell you a couple of things. So Rav Avadi Yosef, he takes on this in his one of his tshuvas in Yabia Omer. He says, but the Mechaber never quotes this Yerushalmi. So why should we follow this Yerushalmi? It's Maran Mechaber doesn't bring it. So he thinks he's a purist, always top third. Even if the top third is who knows how tall, top third. That's his shita. But it's not, even amongst Sfardim, I don't think it's the mainstream view. You know. So what's the pshat? So Rav Abadi once told me pshat, and then I saw that the Chazon Ish said a similar idea. That it's not really, there's a din of Shlish Elyon and there's a din of Shlish. See, I thought, so there are two halachas, there are two tracks. There's the normal door track and the high track. Okay? And then the normal door track is Shlish Elyon, and the high track is... So, I'm invited to know, the pshat is that Shlish Elyon is a hashara of shoulder height. It's not two separate tracks. It's always the din of shoulder height. It's always a din of shoulder height. And what's shoulder height? Shoulder height is because when the shoulder height, that's where you're, where's your head? Your head is right above the shoulders, so that's where you're going to be looking, right? If something, so according to that, in other words, if, so it's above that area, so already, and that's how I think there's a piece in the Sivas, in the Derechayim, which says like that idea. But if it's going to be, in other words, if the top third will be that it'll be like above that area, so say it'll be above my head. Some say, oh, it has to be 20 amos or something, so very, like we're learning in Sukkah, you know, high. So you, but some say, like the Nesivis, if it's going to be above the regular purview, which is, so here, yeah, I mean, this is around, you know, it's a little bit higher, but it's okay. And so that's what, and it's a din. And another area where you see this halacha, that you have to be able to see the mezuzah, is halacha is when we said you could put a mezuzah in the, you know, like they put it in the Jerusalem stone, right? You've seen that they put it in the stone, right? But if you plaster over it, then it's no good. You have to be able to see that there's a mezuzah there. So you see that. So lemaisa, you know, I wouldn't follow the shita what Rabbi Baruch Chazanish said lekula. That it was if I'm a smaller person and my shoulder height is going to be lower than the Shlish Elyon, I'd be afraid to you know, put it below the Shlish Elyon. But lemaisa, I would follow the Shach that if it's if it's a tall door, that to put it. By shoulder height, not like Rabbi Yosef says that. Yeah, that since the Mechaber doesn't quote this in Shalmi, that we should always put it b'shlish elyon. I mean, I think it's a good svar, it's a good idea. Shaila is, I don't want to, because if it's wrong, and you put it lower, if your shoulder height is lower than the shlish elyon, then it could be a possible afil b'dieved. You don't want to rock the boat here. So I'll put it just a little higher if the shoulder height is going to be lower than the Shlish Elyon. But once you're in the tall door syndrome, so then you just do the shoulder height thing and not the Rav Avadi Yosef thing, because that's the minigol. Oh. Yeah, so the Maisa, if the Shlish Elyon is going to be above your normal purview, like say here, it's right here. When I walk out, it's perfect. And even if I'm not as tall, I'm a little shorter. I think all the people in Rabbi Rolian is taller than most of us, then some of us are a little shorter, some of us are a little, but I think this is good for everybody. Everyone here, when they're going to walk out, they'll be within their regular purview, so that's good. So based on this, I have another pet peeve that, and I wrote an article about this in the Beis Yitzchak, and that's about the kitchens in Washington Heights. You know what I'm talking about? The kitchens in Washington Heights have this thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Like the doors, like the ceiling kind of comes down.
No, so they have the little arch, and then you have that little protrusion. And then it goes down. Does anyone have a marker? I could draw it. Is yours? This is a side view. Maybe I'll draw a better picture. Let me draw a better picture. So you're walking in this way. So where do you put the... So this is...
It's like a half wall next to you.
Yeah. So some people. So the question is, do you put it over here, the mezuzah, or do you put it over here? So some say, well, the Nesivus and the Derech Chaim says that if there's a blita, you know what I'm talking about? You've seen this? No? 95% of the kitchens have this.
You mean like you walk in the kitchen and there's like a half a wall next to you, but then...
You have a wall, a little thing, and then it, and then the curve. But then... But you don't walk near the curve because you have this protruding little thing that goes down. It's in almost every apartment. I mean, maybe. No?
Do you read an apartment by one level? A floor?
No. Yeah, you get
it's like a counter. Okay. And a counter sticking out from the sides.
Right.
At, like halfway up.
Right.
Height.
So some say, well, you can't put it here because you're not walking over here. Some says, I put it here. Which the Derech Chaim says that if this is 10 tefachim high, you can put it on those little things. So you have all these, a lot of people putting their mezuzah on this little low thing. This 10 tefachim high. These are the seeds. But the in the Sefer in the Mikdash Ma'ad, in the Das Kedoshim, he says, no, that Mesiv is only meant if you're putting it lower, it'll still be within the Shlish Elyon. So they're talking about this case, that it goes up, but now when you put it here, it's still within the Shlish Elyon. But the way people put it, the mezuzah will be like over here. In reference to their body. So I'm very... not into that. And then there's a whole question which way you put it. There are four possibilities where to put the mezuzah. You can put it here, going in, or if you hold like that Rabbi Kiva Eger, you put it here, going out. So there are, four different possibilities. So I'm into putting it... to put it higher up. Not over here, because this is not within the Shlish Elyon. Yeah, it could be Spatul Gamma.
Yeah.
Could be Spatul Gamma. Because it's not Dal Al Dal in the end of the day. Right, so if you don't hold like the Chamidu and the Neil, and this, so then it could be. But if you're already putting it up.
Right.
Yeah. Once I saw in somebody's even their living room they had something like that, and that opened up in the big room. A bathroom we know doesn't need a mezuzah because it's not a tashmishal shel kavod. It's not a tashmishal kavod, so you don't put up a mezuzah in the bathroom. So there is a question. There is one sheet in the Rishonim. We don't follow the sheet at all. That says that in a married couple's bedroom, there's no chiyuv of mezuzah. Because that's also, since they're going to cohabit together, that's not a tashmish or covered, so there shouldn't be any mezuzah. So that sheet seems to be nidcha. Fakir, in some of the Heights apartments, the only room that they can possibly make a bracha is in the married couple's bedroom. Because every other room either is not dalet al dalet or doesn't have a door. So this is the only room that for sure is dalet al dalet and for sure has a door. And yet now, there still could be an issue, like I told you, that there's one day in Rishonim that says that it's not Tashmish or Kovod. So we assume no, because basically most of the Tashmish is sleeping and whatever. And then they could also be Mishamish, but that's not like the same as a bathroom where the Iker Shemesh is to, things that are not Shel Kovod. So that's... then there is a discussion... So in most bedrooms, married couples, so you shut the door, the mezuzah will be outside. Because the halacha is the person's not allowed to mishamish in front of, say, for Torah, tefillin, svarim, you know. So usually the mezuzah will, you know, so people have to realize, as someone pointed out, you know, when somebody is a single fellow, you know, growing up, he keeps all his svarim in his bedroom, all his bar mitzvah svarim and all that. And now it's fakir, that you don't keep any svarim in the, like someone pointed out, in the married couples. But the question is, so the mezuzah, but sometimes you have a situation where the mezuzah is going to be inside the room. Like sometimes in the Heights you have a situation where there's a door and then you walk a little and then there's another tzuras ha-pesach within the bedroom and then there's no door. So what do you do then? Right, what do you do then? So that's a big shaila. What do you do to...
You see the covers in the tzitzah, covers in
the... Yeah, so the rashis is the cover is... In other words, so you need... Normally you need a double covering, right? But the double covering only counts as a double covering if one of the coverings is not miyucha l'kach. And here, it's miyucha l'kach. So the Aruch HaShulchan says... He thinks the answer is that there's no problem. That the Torah was mechayiv in me and mezuzah, and the Torah was mechayiv in normal life. So Mamela, al korcha, this is not considered a bizayin to the mezuzah, to be mishamish in front of a mezuzah. Because it's built into the chiyuv. It's built into what you do in a bedroom, and it's built into what the chiyuv of mezuzah. That was the Aruch HaShulchan. But not everyone accepted this Aruch HaShulchan. So some say, Rav Gutman pointed out, even you say like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that when it's nikba on the door, it's considered like a reshus b'fnei atzmo. Or you say like the, Rav Gutman pointed out, like the Chayodam, the Chachmas Odom, that if you put it on with special kavana, that it should count as a mafsik, then it does. So you put a wrapping, a special wrapping in on the cloth, or maybe two wrappings on the cloth with kavana to this. So that's another. But technically speaking, you know, would be that you would, you know, they say even the stipler, you could put a nail on top of the mezuzah, and you could put a shirt. Two shirts on top of the, you know, but that's already, you know, it's just not, you know, a little awkward to do that. So Rav Gutman said you can rely on one of these coolers, either the Chashulchan, that's the, or more so the just put a double, you know, double wrapping on over the, like the foil. So two pieces of foil over the mezuzah, so that will be mafsi. But Aruch HaShulchan makes a lot of sense, but it wasn't the mainstream shita about this matter. But it's interesting that's the one place that in these apartment buildings that you could make a bracha. And even that is a question. But Lamaisa, I tell people that if that's the only place they can make the bracha, that we make a bracha. How can they kach that we don't even follow the shita that the bedroom, married couple's bedroom, is potter? And if it's potter, for sure you don't make a bracha. But as I said, in a regular Washington Heights apartment, very often that's the only place that you could even try to make a bracha. Okay, so Rabosai, I thank Rabbi Orlian again for inviting me to share the Divrei Torah with you. And
check for throwing the marker at you.